So we come here to practice, so use the time. Yeah. Most of our effort goes into samadhi first. Yeah. Be with the Buddha or be with the breath until you know all the thoughts and all the memories stop. And after that, you know, we can go into investigation. And what do we investigate? You know, we investigate this body. The body that is born, the body that dies, the body that gets old, and the body that gets sick. Yeah? Everybody goes through these cycles. Yeah? Once we are born, we go through these cycles until death. And then comes the next life, and then the next life, and the next life. And we are here, and we have the opportunity to end this, to end samsara, to end the cycle of birth and death. Or, in other words, we know also to end dukkha. But that's not what I want to talk about. Today I want to talk about something else. Recently I was in Bangkok, or before that in Chiang Mai, and I do hear the monks and the lay people talk about this monastery, and they say, you know, I mean, the style is very much the same as the style of Wat Pa Bangkok. And some of the lay people or the monks say, you know, even the teaching that is here or that I give is very similar to Lingda Mahapura's teaching. And that is what I tried when I created this temple, to make it as much or as similar as possible to the style of Wat Pa Bangkok, like Lingda Mahapura had his own monastery. And also including the teaching. I mean, I spent 15 years with Lingda Mahapura, so I do know a little bit about his teaching. I practiced under him, you know, for quite a while. And so I tried, with putting a lot of effort in it, to make this monastery very similar to the monastery of Bangkok, when it was still under Lingda Mahapura. Now it has changed a bit, quite a bit. And also the teaching. But I'm not sure if I can continue with this. Seems to be not possible anymore. How did I come to Bangkok? I mean, it was in August 1990, just after a very nice retreat. Meditation retreat with my first meditation teacher. I suddenly knew after this retreat that this is the end, that I have to go into homelessness, that I want to pursue the path of practice and not the path of working. It took me about half a year. I left my job. I left all my belongings behind me, had everything what I needed in my backpack, and went to England. In the meditation center, what was it called, Gaya House, yeah? In western part of England. There I stayed for 4 months, you know, practicing. But the problem there was, you know, it did cost a lot of money. Right? I mean, one meditation course, you know, staying there, you know, I mean, it did cost a lot of money. So, I mean, this wasn't anything, even though it was very good, you know, very helpful. Because I could practice, you know, I mean, except for 3 hours of sleep the rest of the day, you know, doing walking meditation, doing sitting meditation. And I got quite deep, you know, deep into samadhi. But I couldn't sustain this kind of life, so I mean, I was thinking about another opportunity or possibility, and then my first teacher suggested, you know, to go to one of the monasteries in, in England, yeah. I mean, I went to Meadows Monastery, so I went to Chitos, yeah, stayed there for a while. But the problem was there was not really teaching, yeah. There was not, you know, I mean, not to my liking, the teaching was not to my liking, not to my satisfaction. And most of the time they didn't even practice, they worked, you know, worked, you know, and hardly practiced. And if that, you know, if you had morning and evening chanting, you know, and there was a little bit meditation session, all the monks, you know, fall asleep. Yeah? Some of them even fell over while doing meditation. So this wasn't the place for me. Even though they had a working day from what was it, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock, yeah. with a little rest, yeah, midday rest, yeah. This wasn't, I could still keep up my meditation, but this wasn't the thing that I was looking for. I went to most of the monasteries in England, yeah. I spent a long time, you know, in Chitos, and a long time in Harnam, and, you know, a few months, you know, in Amaravati, yeah. But it's always the same, so after 1 year I decided, okay, that's not it, yeah. And then, you know, then I decided, okay, yeah, I mean, somebody, a teacher, you know, from Germany, Aya Kema, you know, invited me to her house, yeah. That was even worse, you know, I mean, we just worked all day, yeah. I mean, we had to provide for all her meditation courses, you know, and we didn't even have time, you know, to meditate or practice on our own. And then I decided, okay, that is also not. And also the teaching, you know, I mean, even though the teaching was much better than everything that I had before, yeah. But it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy me. I mean, they couldn't answer me the question how to overcome greed and hatred. And that is what I, you know, felt most, you know, and that I knew I had to overcome it. Yeah? I just couldn't let it go, you know. I mean, just like everybody told me, I just let it go, don't dive into it. But it still came up, so I mean... I said, that is not the way, yeah, that's not the way. I knew from one of the meditation teachers that I met in Gaia House, you know, the first time, you know, she gave me a book of Lungta Mahabua, called Straight from the Heart, yeah, so I read it and I knew, okay, that's where I have to go, he knows the truth, But it was in Thailand, and that's why I looked, you know, in England and in Germany, you know, for a place, you know, maybe the Dhamma is also there. But I couldn't find the real Dhamma, you know, in Europe. You know. So finally I had to go to Wat Phappantat. So I went there to Wat Phappantat, yeah. When I came in, the monastery was empty. There was nobody there. Was completely quiet, completely empty, as if nobody is living there. So I went up, you know, I saw the sala, yeah, the meeting place, just like here the sala. It's a little bit bigger, you know, a wooden structure. But behind the sala there was a little Namrod place, you know, where there's for hot drinks and cold drinks. And there said, you know, Achampanya. So I wrote a letter to him and asked if I could come, and he actually replied. It was mostly amazing. So and I talked to him, you know, and yeah, he said, yeah, sure, you can come, you know, you can stay here, you know. And then I stayed here, and the next morning, you know, I met, you know, in the sala at the morning meal, I met Lungta Mahabua. And the moment I saw him, I knew, yeah, I mean, he is my father, he is my mother, you know, he's my Venerable teacher, you know, I have found everything that I needed, you know, this is the place for me to stay. And also the monks, you know, they were my brothers and my sisters. Yeah? I mean, I felt completely, you know, at home. Yeah? Like I never felt at home in my own family where I was born. So I stayed there. I stayed there for 15 years. Yeah? And in the beginning, yeah, I had when I was a layperson, you know, I was a layperson for 9 months. I never had the intention of ordaining. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to practice. But then one of the monks at Chintik asked me, why don't you ordain? And I said, okay, why not? You know, I mean, what's the difference there? Yeah? And then I ordained, yeah. And once you ordain, you know, I mean, you come into a certain rhythm, yeah. I mean, you have to learn a lot of things, yeah. You know, you have to learn how to dress, you have to learn how to behave, yeah. You have to learn the 227 rules, so that takes a lot of time. And not only that, you know, I mean, you also, as a monk in a community where you live, you have duties. And the duties, you know, for young monks, you know, except, you know, for sweeping in the morning and sweeping in the afternoon, there was also the duty, you know, of looking after cleaning up the sala after the meal, yeah. And it was divided into several groups. But also, you know, I mean, some people, you know, after the sweeping in the afternoon, the senior monks, you know, took care of the sala, you know, coconutting it, you know, I mean, the wooden floor, you know, with coconut shells, you know. And we as young monks, you know, we had to pump the water from the well and distribute it all over the monastery. So, I mean, we had carts, you know, where we went to all the toilets, you know, cleaned the toilets, yeah. Put the water, filled up the water buckets, you know, and then filled up, you know, all over the monastery because there was no flowing water. That took quite some strength and quite some time, yeah? But this was a duty. Yeah? And then, the moment I stood longer, you know, I mean, people started, you know, I mean, to call me, you know, come help me with this, come help me with this. Achampanya, you know, he wanted, you know, his Patipada, you know, to be printed, you know, so I had to make the layout for him, you know. Achantik wanted to some English translated talks, you know, to be printed in book form, so I had to do this, yeah. And then the Thai monks, you know, asked me to help here and help there. Yeah. And then, over the time, I understood, you know, I more or less understood the structure of the monastery. Yeah. So there was the Achan, yeah, I mean, who gave the teaching, yeah, who went out, you know, on invitations, you know, to give a talk here and to give a talk there, or, you know, to receive Papa here or receive Papa there. And then, yeah, then there was the monk, you know, who looked after the monastery, yeah, while he was, you know, during he was gone, you know, during the day that was called Pravin, yeah. I mean, he had to look, you know, after, you know, the visitors, greeting the visitors. And looking after the visitors, yeah. So, but this was a shift, you know, there were 3 or 4 months, you know, I mean, who, you know, did it for 1 week, yeah. Then there was the monk of Namron, that was for the younger monks, yeah. And they had one week, you know, looking after the Namron place, you know, the hot water place, so they had to boil, you know, they have to come in the morning at 10 o'clock and boil the water and prepare all the panasta, yeah, for the monks and for the lay people. And it took them from 10 to 2 o'clock, you know, every day, yeah. But that was not all, you know, then there was Upathak, yeah, of Lungga Mahabur, who looked after his kuti and after his clothes and so on. Yeah. At the beginning when I came, you know, there were two, you know, Achandik was one of them. I mean, he was Upathak for 18 years. 18 years, yeah, I mean, he was there every day, you know, he was there. When he was not, you know, going on too long, yeah. I mean, he was looking after Tanachan for 18 years, and then Lungpa said, okay, that's enough, 18 years, you know. I mean, and there was then only one Upathak, yeah. In the beginning, you know, there were 3 Upathaks, you know, I'm constantly looking after, yeah, I mean, without a break, yeah. Then there was a secretary, and there was a deputy, yeah, who looked after the administration of the monastery. I mean, so who told the monks, you know, what to do, you know, where cook, or where they can stay, you know, it was something like the customer. But he had also other duties, yeah. Every day, you know, he was transcribing the talks of Lungga Mahabur, yeah. And then also the transcribed talks, you know, putting into book forms. I don't know how many hundred books, you know, I remember printed of Lungta Mahabho's talks, yeah. So he had to look after that. So he was busy, you know, 7 days a week, yeah. And then there was the secretary, yeah. The secretary, you know, who was receiving the mails and who was organizing all the meetings that, you know, people invited Lungta to. So in the afternoon, you know, after Lungta Mahabho took a shower, he went to him, you know, and explained to him, you know, what was there, or if there were letters to sign, and things like that. Yeah? And that was a job 7 days a week, for years on end. There was no break, yeah. And because of the workload, you know, became big and bigger and bigger, you know, there were four other monks who helped him, yeah. I mean, one of the months, you know, I was recording the tapes, you know, all the talks, you know, that Lungta gave in the sala, you know, and making copies of it, 200, 300 copies a day, you know, and distributing it to the lay people. the others helped, you know, with the computer work, you know, I mean, to write the letters, you know, or to print, you know, to print posters and things like that, yeah. And my task, you know, not only for Ajahn Panya and Ajahn Dik, you know, I mean, I also translated some of the books into German, yeah, or some of the talks into English. But that was my main work. My main work was collecting all the talks that Lungta Mahabho was giving from 1960 that were on the big reels, you know, reel to reel, yeah. And copying them to digital data. And then, yeah, and not only that, you know, I mean, that was from 1960 to 1978, yeah. And from then on, you know, were all the talks on cassette tapes, you know, so I mean, because it was at the time, you know, it was the end of cassette tapes, you know, so people didn't have any more cassette players, you know, I mean, they wanted digital media. So his talks on digital media, because I mean, it was the end of the cassette tapes. Eh? it was over 800 talks, always talks to the monks. Eh? I had to listen to them, I had to record them, and now onto digital media. Once it was onto digital media, I had to clean up the talks, you know, and I mean, I was busy for nearly 10 years. Every day, 7 days. 7 days a week. In the evening I was meditating, in the morning I was meditating, yeah, trying to squeeze in some of the practice, you know, but during the day I was mostly working. Yeah. Also helping the secretary with his work, you know, I mean, making backups and so on, you know, all the computer stuff that you know, they were not familiar with this, yeah. In these 15 years I had only nearly 3 years, you know, solitary retreat, yeah. When I went on Tudong, you know, for 3 to 5 months, yeah, most of the time 4 or 5 months. But sometimes, you know, when it was very busy, you know, only 3 months, yeah. In these 15 years, yeah, solitary retreat. But I never complained. No, I said, I came here to practice. Just like the monks here do. I came here to practice, I'm not here to help, yeah? I'm not here, you know, to do some work, yeah? that is a problem, yeah? And then after that, you know, I mean, I still was, yeah, I mean, when I was finished with the audio tapes, you know, I had to do all the videotapes, yeah? I mean, the recordings, you know, and all these places where Lungta Mahabho went, you know, that went on the videotapes, yeah? So, I mean, I was busy all the time. But I never neglected my practice. Yeah? I always practiced. Yeah? And doing things, yeah, I mean, and that, yeah, because probably, you know, I lived in a Thai monastery with the Thais, you know, I mean, they do everything for their achar. Yeah? And here they only complain, you know, this I don't like, that I don't like, this is not comfortable, that is not comfortable. Yeah? I never heard that, you know, in Wat Pa Phan That in the 15 years I was there. Yeah? Never heard that. Yeah? I don't like this, you know, why should I do this, you know, why do I have to do so much, yeah? I came here to practice, yeah? I also came to practice to Wat Pa Phan That. I still could practice, yeah? And especially, you know, the teaching, yeah? The teaching was so important, yeah? When I came to Wat Pa Phan That, you know, I mean, the question I had, how to overcome greed and hatred, yeah? I mean, looked at, yeah? And everybody in the West told me, you know, just let it go, don't delve into it, you know? Lungda Mahabho said, it is impossible, you cannot do that. Huh? Huh? Tell an aunt that is, you know, at the top of the ceiling, you know, to go to the floor and tell her, let go. And it instantly goes to the floor, yeah? But this aunt doesn't know the command, let go. The aunt only knows putting one leg in front of the other, yeah? So it goes along the ceiling, goes down, you know, at one of the columns, you know, until it hits the floor. Yeah? And when Lungta Mahabho explained that, you know, I understood it. Yeah? Yeah. So, the practice is like what I said, you know, I don't know if I said it to you. The practice of is picturing a investigation of the body. Yeah? That's how you overcome greed and hate. And he explained it so often. The investigation of the body, inside, outside. First, getting the citta out from the body, you know, and looking at the body, yeah? And then, you know, overcoming the likes and the dislikes that are inherent with the body. Yeah? Because everything that we like, everything that we dislike is in connection with the body. It has nothing to do with the other things, yeah? Feelings that come from the body, you know, the body itself, yeah, the senses of the body, you know, I mean, it's always likes and dislikes. Yeah? So if you overcome the body, if you investigate the body thoroughly, you know, and see, you know, where likes and dislikes are coming from, then you can overcome greed and hatred. That is the only way, yeah. And that's what he said, that's what he teach. And the moment he said it, I understood it, you know, I mean, it was so clear. Yes, that's the way. And that's the way of the Lord Buddha, you know, the Lord Buddha teaches the same thing, yeah. Investigation of the body, investigation of the five khandhas, yeah? And the first khandha that is so obvious, you know, is the khandha of the Buddha, of the body, yeah? Including the bodily feelings of God, yeah? So. But now after coming back from Bhagat, you know, about a week ago, I realized, you know, I cannot do this, I cannot preserve the same style, you know, as Lungta Mahabho, not in this monastery, not in the teaching. Nobody appreciates the teaching here, yeah? People don't appreciate it, you know, I mean, they're just like, I don't know, yeah? And they are not willing to put some effort in this, yeah? Some effort, you know, to maintain the monastery, yeah? So, a week ago I realized, you know, I mean, I fulfilled all my karmic obligations. I don't have to teach anymore and I don't have to stay here. Yeah? I built up this monastery, I renovated the monastery, built up to a very nice place, yeah? But now it's time for me to leave. Yeah? I've done my share, you know. If people don't appreciate it constantly, you know, disrespectfully, you know, I mean, towards me, you know, I mean, I don't have to take it anymore. Before I had to take it, because it was my karma, yeah? But now I know the karma is over, I don't have to take it anymore, yeah? I don't have to teach anymore, because if people don't appreciate it, I don't have to teach anymore, yeah? And I don't have to be in this place, yeah? So I'm looking for another place where I can stay by myself and just practice, yeah? That's what last time, you know, I mentioned something, you know, probably in anticipation, yeah? Of the knowledge that came up, just like the knowledge that came up, you know, I mean, 30 years ago when I knew, I mean, I had to leave my job, you know. It was so clear, you know. So I left my job, you know, and went into homelessness. Now I can leave this monastery and live, yeah, and go, you know, go by myself and not being bothered by anybody, you know. Especially ungrateful people, yeah. I mean, yes, I know, you know, we all come from the West, we are never grateful to our parents. Yeah? whatever they done to us, you know, they cared for us for 20 years, but we are ungrateful. We don't give them, you know, we don't show them the respect that they deserve, yeah? And that's the same thing, yeah? I mean, you treat me the same way as you treat your parents, yeah? Yes, of course, you know, I should be here for you, yeah? I mean, when you look, you know, when you look at the monks, you know, especially also at the monks, yeah? When the monks take dependence, yeah, on the teacher, what do they say, yeah? I'm the burden of my teacher, yeah? They know that. So they are the burden of me, yeah? But the second part of the sentence is, the teacher is my burden, yeah? And they fail too, yeah? They just fail, yeah? In this respect. I don't seem to be a burden, yeah? Other people, yeah? I mean, but it is, you know, I mean, I don't blame you, you know, I just want you to understand, you know. I often talk about, yeah, gratitude, respect, generosity. And generosity is what I put, you know, all the effort I put into, yeah, helping to spread Lungga Mahabua's teaching, yeah? Or building up this monastery and trying, you know, to preserve his teaching, yeah? Even, you know, how the monastery is run, yeah? I try to preserve it as much as I can, but, you know, I feel, you know, I can't do it anymore, yeah? Huh? Because there is no support, yeah? Everybody wants, you know, it's needy, 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 you know, I want this, you know, I don't like this, I don't, yeah? Huh? And they're not grateful for what is given to them, and they're not respectful, yeah? So why should I stay here? You know, my karmic obligation is gone, yeah? I'm over with, I've done enough, you know, I've done these 30 years, I've done so much, you know, for the community, for everything, yeah? I taught for more than 20 years, yeah? Probably 22 years, yeah, since 2002, yeah? So why should I stay here? Why should I, you know, be constantly, you know, well, huh? Meeting the faces, you know, I mean, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's all what I wanted to say, yeah.